Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming World Magazine, and I have three CGW editors with me today, and they include the following.
Sean Elliott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Malloy.
And kids, it's a little scary here today because we are flying without a net. There's no... the guys who have produced our podcast in the past are not in the room. Instead, taking the soundboard is our own Sean Malloy over there.
Yep.
How are you feeling, Sean?
I mean, a little nervous, a little nervous.
Are you nervous?
A little bit. And we're scary. There's some like...
And we're also flying without a Ryan Scott today.
And no Ryan Scott.
Yeah.
Right. So should we bring up... Should we get it out of the way? Should we bring up Guild Wars now?
Guild Wars Factions.
Okay. I just hit level 20, I mean, for the 30th time.
Yeah. Didn't you hear that they have 2 million... subscribers now?
How's that?
Done.
Okay, so it's as if he was here.
So Ryan, good luck on the root canal. See you next week, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We shouldn't make fun of Ryan. He's getting yet another root canal.
Yeah. This one's been rough, apparently.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I think the lesson to all you out there is brush your teeth. In fact,
and floss.
Plus 20 Pepsodent. It's going to help.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast right now, if you're listening now and you haven't flossed in the last 24 hours... Go ahead and get a piece of floss out right now while you listen.
On the bus, doesn't matter. Go for it.
That's what I'm saying. Sean, are you nervous? Are you okay over there?
I think I'm fine.
All right.
I think I can handle this.
All right. You got a little bit of a deer in the headlights sort of look.
Well, I'm watching all of these lights flashing, so it's pretty scary.
Hypnotic.
Oh, so it's kind of like one of those color organs from the 70s. Should put on some Pink Floyd for you over there. Okay, so we've had a bit of an odd week because... Sean and Elliot. That's great. Sean, Elliot, and Darren were out of town. I was actually out of town this weekend. So does that mean we've been playing any games? Any PC?
A lot
games?
Of Golden Tee Golf.
Golden Tee Golf.
the game. The game for all vacationers.
Yes, it is.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I was playing. Besides Good Brother, seeing my sister get married. Congratulations, Carrie.
Woo! Yay.
I also was playing Titan Quest.
I played the first level of that.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm still in like, I basically got to Sparta. Is that how far you got?
Yeah. I don't know. I got one of those, you know, if your mom says if you got nothing nice to say sort of things going on with Titan Quest. But it's early yet. It's early yet.
You know, the one thing I kept thinking is, I mean, the game looks pretty.
It looks very pretty.
And it seemed, I guess when I'm playing it, I'm thinking, what Age of Empires did to, you know, Warcraft. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what Titan Quest is doing to like a Diablo game.
Okay.
So it's kind of...
Right now, all I was seeing is just way too much Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Scorpion
like it was like a
any?
Skin for Diablo. You know? I mean, yeah, it's 3D.
The one thing I think it could be a strong selling point could be the map making tool. I haven't played around with it yet, but I mean...
Does it do random dungeons or is it...
I haven't even played enough to know that.
Yeah,
so my opinion doesn't
think
count
so.
Yet.
That was one of the only things that, you know, to criticize Diablo. The only things I didn't like about it is the randomness because there's...
Really?
No, it's not. They're not random.
Wow, you didn't like...
In this. Or from our,
they're not random?
From the last preview I edited. so I didn't write it, but no.
Sean, how come you didn't like the randomness of Diablo?
I like level design. I like when people can intentionally put a room in a spot and, like, it's there for a reason because this is where they want to ramp up the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, Diablo is all about, and I love Diablo. That was the only thing where I was like, oh, I wish they had actually, you know, designed a few of these levels instead of just kind of had, you know, the algorithm make them. And the algorithm was really good at making them.
Right.
But
I guess there'll be real downside.
It's got me worried about Hellgate, you know, just because, just in the most general way, in that, like, in my experience, the randomly generated content is usually boring content. You know, it doesn't have the polish of design where it's constructed very carefully and deliberately to create, you know, different paths of, you know, of progress and action and this and that. And I think the last experience I had with randomly generated content was horrible, and that was that PSP game.
Which one was that?
It was the one. It was
one
like
of the Champions of Nora.
No, it was the one where you're inside. It was supposed to be a Konami first person shooter.
Oh no, and
you're
Coded Arms.
Coded Arms. Yeah,
wow.
And it was just like, wow. I mean, basically, hello, dead ends and back and forth.
I would think a shooter wouldn't play itself out as well though as a Diablo style game.
Right. Well, I understand some of the concerns
levels.
And I think Hellgate actually, I mean, like, obviously it's not out yet. It has a lot of time before it's ready, but I think there's some, like, they are looking to address those problems. And when I was, you know, doing the cover story a couple months back, they were saying how when they're putting the game together, they're actually creating algorithms that are actually doing, you know, putting a lot of elements together inside the inside each room and each environment that you're playing in. And it's not like haphazardly, you know, slapped together. It makes some kind of sense.
Right. I guess in Diablo, I mean, the algorithms must have been such that, you know, certain things had to happen, right? I mean, obviously, like, the butcher is put there, you know, like, you know, no matter what, on level 3, the boss is going to be there.
Right. It just kind of constructs a maze a little differently around getting there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of the visual experience, expectations were a lot lower then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's like, if you see that same, I don't know, what would it be in Titan Quest? You see that same scorpion cave 1,000 times in a row.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I'm definitely willing to give it another chance.
Well, it has been a Scorpion. It's been mostly satyrs so far.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I still want to play more of it. I'm not ready to judge it yet. I just was expecting something a little different than Diablo, and it plays for, I mean, as you go through the tutorial mission, you know, everything that they show you, you know, the one of the townspeople, you know, and here's the place where you'll resurrect. Uh-huh. Everything was like, oh, yeah, that's a Diablo feature. Oh, yeah, that's a Diablo feature.
Oh, look, there's the town portal.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there was one thing that kind of bummed me out. I mean, maybe it'll be addressed later on, but you pick that one kind of the direction your character class is going to go, or rather, I should say, the skill sets you're going to choose, and you can't go back. Once you make that decision, it's all over, and you just kind of go. It seems like you just go forward from there.
So, which Diablo cones have kind of like out Diablo?
I can't rely on I'd say none.
Yeah, nothing's really popping to my mind either.
Well, I remember actually before this, I was actually like looking back over a couple other older games I remember playing. Anyone remember Nox?
Yep.
I thought that was
pretty good.
That was a pretty good Diablo clone. Did a decent job.
But see, that's all you can ever say, though. It's a decent Diablo clone. Mm-hmm. There's never one that made you say, okay, this is better.
Yeah.
You know? Like, most of us still have Diablo on our hard drives.
That's pretty interesting for a gaming genre, you know? Well, it seems like everything else, it's like, you know, it's something that's going to trump it in, you know, 5 years, and it has, or at least there's a debate to be had about something. If you say, hey, what's, you know, it's not like there's just one shooter that's the only one that people will say is the big granddaddy and still by far the best.
Right. In real-time strategies, Blizzard almost did it, but not quite, right? I mean, because you could argue that StarCraft kind of supplanted Warcraft. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of people who would take Age of Empires over StarCraft or Rise of Legends now. I mean, there's all sorts of the Command & Conquer series.
Mm-hmm. And they've all definitely done something to it and changed it in significant ways.
Well, it's an interesting genre because you could argue that the more complicated it gets, if you start adding these layers, then suddenly you're going away from what makes it, you know, Diablo.
Right.
Whereas an RTS, you kind of want these extra strategic layers.
Diablo is just killing and shopping.
Yeah, and there's not even that much interface streamlining to be done. Whereas, like, in RTS, there was, you know, since StarCraft, there's been a lot of changes just in how interfaces work.
Maybe it was just perfect.
I almost feel like in order to make a game that's going to supplant a Diablo, instead of trying to focus on, like, basically doing the same thing that I did but a little better, just try to take it in a different offshoot direction, make it more, like, action-based.
What about Guild Wars? Isn't Guild Wars
Guild Wars
Diablo?
Is.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Kind of is. Ryan wouldn't argue that.
Yeah,
Ryan would say it's an MMO.
2 million people
agree. Successor to Diablo.
He doesn't even need to be here. We're actually doing all the talking for him.
Speaking of, I played a few mods when I got back, and while the levels were not randomly generated, in some cases they might as well have been. One of them is Troy Divine Playground, I mentioned before.
That was funny.
And it's a university project, and I felt bad. When it first came out, you know, when the beta first came out, quite a few servers up, and then now when I went on to play, there were two servers. One was occupied. And the unfortunate thing for this game, I mean, again, to recap, is, it's basically, you know, Trojans versus Greeks, and it's a cool idea in that you have a bunch of AI-controlled bots on your side, and you're able, as you're the one you're controlling dies, you're able to take over the other ones. But they're all brain dead, which is a big problem, but they're able to aim really well. So it's like you'll see a guy standing in a corner somewhere, but spear sniping you across the entire map.
Through walls and stuff.
Yeah. And then other few, I'm getting to the real messed up part of the game, but other funny things are that you have this growl. It's like this godly growl, and it's supposed to whip up the enemy into fear and submission. But basically what happens is they do this little dance like they have to go pee. So you run up through a whole mob of the enemy's defenses.
and the growl
is more like a constipated, like, groaning, you know. And so you run through them, and you're like, and then all of a sudden their whole army is just sitting there, just dancing.
I'd be afraid.
That's kind of like what we hear out of Darren's office once a day.
Yeah. Okay, so the messed up thing in terms of the level design is that you really appreciate about the published games is that you're not participating in the beta process, and that basically with these mods you're doing it, but you realize just what work it really is. Because, I mean, I think in the first... You know, the first day of playing it, we found all these ways to exploit it where you're supposed to get over this castle wall and you have these ladders. So within minutes, we were like, okay, let's wait for our teammates to get up the ladder and just pull the ladder out from under them and laugh at them. And we kept doing that. And then after that, I'd climb the wall, take the ladder myself, and then go and run and get it and climb up buildings that they clearly hadn't intended me for me to climb up. Take the ladder back up there with me and then just drop bombs on everyone the entire game while being untouchable.
But doesn't that give you new respect for games where the exploits are all gone?
Yeah, like,
you
know, incredible. It's like, why? Yeah, I mean, it's like for us editing like an encyclopedia series or something, you know?
Right.
I mean, single-handedly. And then another cool mod I was playing, it was Zombie Strike. It's for Counter-Strike. It's really simple. There are two iterations of it. One is basically you and, you know, your friends, the actual players, face off waves of zombies, blast them. And then the other version, once you're, you know, it's competitive, and once you're killed by a zombie, you become one then. Both pretty fun. Nice, you know, simple mm-hmm. diversion from the usual Counter-Strike. And then the down point on that, though, in the versus mode, is that the maps, again, weren't designed for it. So the exploits now are that everyone with the guns goes and finds some ledge to camp. And you'll see, like, everyone on each other's shoulders. And you'll see a mountain of, like, 10 dudes blasting anything that's forced to funnel down one
route.
Do
that look like zombies, though?
No, those are the humans that haven't been zombified. Okay. Yeah, and then so you just see the zombies abortively rushing at you and you just keep blasting them.
Are the zombie skins cool?
They're all from Half-Life. Yeah, they're pulled from Half-Life 2.
So it's all like the head crab zombies.
Oh, the head crab dude.
Yeah, and there's other, basically, you know the ones that rush really quickly at you? The ones from Ravenholm? If you took off the head crab on them, they're like these emaciated, wasted little things. Uh-huh. So that's their benefit. They're really hard to hit, and their heads are like these little pins, and that's their only weak point. So... it's pretty cool. I definitely recommend
Zombies are always cool.
Agreed.
Thank God for zombies.
Yeah.
They can rescue practically any game.
You know, that reminds me, actually, like that one feature that you talk about from Zombie Strike is the one thing I wish they added in games like for Stubbs the Zombie. That would have been so cool if you had, like, a multiplayer mode where you could just, like, create a whole zombie horde and like, if you get, and then have humans versus zombies.
Mm-hmm. I could not get into Stubbs the Zombie. I just couldn't.
I wanted to.
I was
giving it the benefit of the doubt, and I just...
I wanted
at the
it to
end
be
day,
scarier and less tongue-in-cheek. I wanted scary zombies, not like farting zombies.
Right. Yeah, I think
going into it, you're getting farting zombies, though.
I know. You know. Sorry, I just. I mean, I'm sure zombies probably really do fart. You know,
yeah, I'm sure they do.
In real life, the real zombies.
Yeah, that was like the over the top. Like that was the part. It was a little over the top and not necessary.
Yeah,
a lot of full-on total conversion zombie mods for Sorcerer are still in development right now. Check back on those. Yeah.
And we'll have a zombie watch next week.
Well, that also stuff's also kind of like laid out the fact that zombies are really slow, and that's not necessarily all that fun to control and play.
Uh-huh. Also, we know from 28 Days Later they're actually fast.
That's true.
Man,
it's been
cool
proven
movie.
Now.
I think that's a special
there
breed.
There we go,
it's
the
fast
slow
zombie,
fast zombie debate.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's
what
was coming. This week's special podcast.
Yeah. Well, in that case, keep tuned for Dead Island. It's from Techland. It's a Polish developer. They're working on it. It's kind of like a survival horror game on a desert island. So it's...
Are they slow or fast?
Both.
Oh.
There
it is.
Best zombie game ever. Corpse Killer.
The slow ones are
Corpse
really
killer.
Strong, and the fast ones...
Wow.
Wow, way to pull that one out.
Wow, holy mackerel.
Digital Pictures, Rocksores.
Did we all play Corpse Killer here in this room?
Yep.
We did.
Damn, that was one awful game.
What was that creepy actor's name from that game? Bald dude. He's like... I've seen like a billion movies.
Telly Savalas.
Not Telly Savalas.
Mr. Clean.
I don't know.
How many
who's in that?
Guys
there was someone
Ed
famous
Asner.
In that?
Well, not famous. He's,
Captain Picard?
I'm going to look this up later. He's like a B actor. I've seen him in a bunch of things.
They have a mustache?
He had like a kind of like a goatee-ish kind of thing.
I don't know.
Ricardo Montalban.
Rich Corinthian Leonard.
Okay, never mind.
All right.
Speaking of, no, that's not speaking of. That was my lame attempt at
no
a transition.
That was
there wasn't one. Speaking of the WoW movie, I was going to bring up, well, we were talking about Blizzard before. So we know there's a World of Warcraft movie announced.
Really?
Which is already kind of scary.
That's news to me.
But there's a rumor floating around on our very own website. So it must be true that Steven Spielberg is
is pondering directing it.
Oh, pondering.
Hmm. So it'll be. Will it be?
I call bullshit on that. Like that's just the biggest fanboy.
Oh, I heard Steven Spielberg, David Lynch is going to be doing it.
Nah, that'd David Lynch World of Warcraft movie. I'd go see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, what Steven Spielberg would be? Would this be the Jaws? Would it be the E.T., the Schindler's List, or the Munich?
Yeah.
Or AI.
Or AI, or what are some of the other bad ones?
Saving Private Ryan is a good
1942?
One.
Yeah.
Actually, that was all right.
I can't possibly see that actually movie. Being true. That's how, so crazy.
How could a World of Warcraft movie be good?
We know immediately who the hell is going to direct it.
Yeah, I know who you want to say. Uwe?
Yeah.
What
Uwe Vilches' son.
Why do people have to direct?
I don't know. What the heck would the movie be about? Why would... You know, I've put in a lot of hours into World of Warcraft.
Yeah. It's going to be like... Remember the damn Dungeons & Dragons movie?
Oh, God, with Damon.
And they're going to try to make it funny, and there's going to be like some ding joke. And someone's going to level up in the movie.
Right, people will be dancing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be about the Sunwell trilogy.
You should be ashamed.
Wow, if you're listening, that was scary, Sean.
If someone's listening.
But maybe you're right.
And heard you say, you know, a World of Warcraft movie, and immediately they were like, whoa, you need to slow down.
I know.
You know, need to step away from that.
The guys at Blizzard, you joked about the Sunwell trilogy, but they actually did make a pretty good backstory to the Warcraft.
Oh, when I was at BlizzCon, I sat on that lore panel.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Like, he was just going off about all of this stuff that they're thinking about, and like it's kind of in some of the quest texts if you're paying attention. But it really is. But yeah, they think about all this stuff all the time. And
I mean, it is pretty close to a lot of fantasy genre stuff.
Yeah, and they could easily.
A Lord of the Rings trilogy sort of thing.
there's a lot of lore to draw on, like the
game. That's the thing. What if the movie is about like a level one guy? You know,
a rags to riches story.
It sounds like it would be more
collecting
of a Warcraft
Murloc tales.
Yeah, Warcraft story rather than like a World of Warcraft story.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You have to collect 5 Morlock fins. You have to see, like, 5 minutes of the movie.
Or even, like, you know, when they have, like, the climatic battle with Anixi or something, you see the characters are waiting in line for someone else to kill it.
Let it respond.
And they go up and kill it.
And, like, and the leader of your guild is going, what the fuck?
That might put a damper on your heroic ending of the movie if there's, like, another group waiting.
I'm thinking Sauron
respawns at the end.
Okay, so we're saying Spielberg's probably not going to direct this.
I don't know. Jackson's doing Halo. He's not directing that necessarily. He's producing, right?
It's going to make a lot of money no matter who directs it. I mean, they don't need to attach someone like...
I mean, if he's producing it, that's a totally different story.
Right.
Like, that I might buy, but I don't think he'd ever... sit down and direct the thing.
I'd worry about who Spielberg would cast in the World of Warcraft movie, too, you know?
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon is, you know, Thrall. I don't know. It didn't make any sense.
Macaulay Culkin.
So I've been playing a lot of Half-Life 2 Episode 1. I finally jumped on that bandwagon. Reinstalled Steam on my machine, reluctantly, but then it actually worked really well. I'm here to say I actually am a fan of Steam now. I never thought I'd say it because, boy, did I hate it when it first came out. But actually, it worked pretty much like a dream, as you said it would.
Works well.
Well, I think it took them after the first 6 months after Half-Life 2 launched, and then it was kind of like got a lot of the bugs ironed out.
Did you get the box copy or did you buy the digital version?
No, I just bought it digitally online. Yeah. I bought it late at night, and in the morning it was, you know, installed on my machine. Mm-hmm. So I've been actually having a lot of crashes in the game, but I'm not blaming Steam. I'm blaming my old video card, I think. However, I do like the game a lot. And the thing I'm liking about it the most, and I think I'm enjoying it more than Half-Life 2 itself, is... I like the pacing a little better, and I think that the puzzles are a bit more creative. I've actually had to stop and think a few times, much more than in Half-Life. I mean, everything ends up being kind of obvious, but some of the stuff is really creative. The elevator was awesome, with the debris falling on you as you're going down, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I would say, even though it's minimal, I just going back to this, I think it's really cool how they develop the interacting between the different characters. I mean, I don't know. I was just doing this past weekend. I was doing a compare contrast with Sin episodes and Half-Life because I'm doing the review for Sin, and I'm reminded of how like good a job Valve does with storytelling.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. I actually can't think of anybody else who really does it like that, who tells a story and a good story actually in the game without the need to break away to a cutscene, without an overabundance of exposition. You know, they're actually like just hearing the stuff on the loudspeakers as you go by, like as you're gaming, really kind of fills in details in a way that I just don't see anybody else doing.
It definitely makes cutscenes just seem completely, you know, passe now.
Well, I think most people are kind of removing the cutscenes, but you still have that omnipotent operator who knows, who the handler back at home base, who is always barking out commands and orders or telling you what's up.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys, the first time you play a game, do you sit through the cutscenes?
I do.
You
do?
Yeah.
I end up skipping them.
You have to get a feel for what the story's about.
I'm first to skip.
I'm the kind of guy who, like, if everything's printed out on the screen that someone just said and I already read it all, I'll still listen while they read it.
Wow. No wonder you're managing editor. Because that's...
looking for typos.
and then proper diction.
Yeah, there's a lot of typos in the Heroes of Might and Magic 5 cutscenes, you know, in the subtitles.
Lost in Translation kind of stuff.
Off. Yeah. Getting the cut line. So we're going to break for our sponsor, and we'll be back in a minute.
1UP Network Radio is being brought to you by Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter Chapter 2 content. That's an all-new downloadable content package coming up for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. Chapter 2 includes 4 all-new missions, along with 8 relit Grom maps, 5 new weapons, and new game types to extend the Xbox Live experience. It's available for the Xbox 360 at the end of June on Xbox Live Marketplace. Hi, this is Garnet Lee, host of 1UP Yours. Every week in the month of June, 1UP Radio, along with And One Streetball, is giving away $100 iTunes Music Store gift cards. All you have to do is listen to 1UP Yours this Friday afternoon to learn how to win. Or you can find the contest rules at our message boards. That's boards.1UP.com. $100 in iTunes goodness courtesy of And One Streetball and the 1UP Radio Network. Sony Computer Entertainment takes no responsibility for this offer.
And we're back, see? Wow. That was so fast.
Through the magic of radio.
It's like we didn't even hear it. but whatever that was, it's a fine sponsor.
It's a wonderful, wonderful product.
We highly recommend that you get it, whatever the heck it was.
So you just proved
the magic
Bobby
radio.
From Activision wrong.
Right. That's right. Degree. I was going to read you guys a quote that showed up apparently in the New York Times this morning. And if this quote is wrong and he didn't say this, then I blame 1UP.com. Because this was on their front page that I scribbled it down. It says, this is the CEO of Activision said this in an article about games. He said, quote, "The idea of full downloadable games is so far in the future that it's almost incomprehensible."
Boy, that's wackiness. What would Valve do without him?
What was the
Doesn't
context
that give
for
like
that
a big WTF?
Yeah.
Well, the context of that was the sales of video games in general, you know, decline in the CD market, and how are we going to pump things back up? I don't think that was the point of the article, but I think that's something he said along the way.
Yeah, because he's not even just saying, you know, it's an idea whose time will come, but we don't know exactly when it will come across the board. Yeah, it's like it's so incomprehensible.
I think it's incomprehensible to him, maybe, but like it's
there. Do
we
need to send him to Valve.com or Telltale Games or Bone?
Or how about he boots up that Xbox 360 and looks at all the stuff happening on Live Arcade? I mean...
Yeah, I think it goes on to say that, you know, he and some of the other folks who are still not completely sold are more into the idea of downloadable content of a game that you've already bought on a disc. Mm-hmm. Like that they can get behind. Right. But the idea of fully being able to buying a full game online, he sees as apparently incomprehensible because it's so far in the future.
Is he referring just to consoles or PCs? Or I mean, obviously, if he's referring to PCs...
I mean, if he's referring to PCs...
You can do that already, so I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm hoping he was just referring to console games. I mean, in that respect, I mean, I could see some sense, but...
Ah, let's say he's full of crap anyway.
All right.
just
awful
kidding. Hard drive on the PS3. So.
Harumph.
No, we're just kidding. We love Activision.
And way to take a stand there.
Sorry. Yeah. Every month there's some publisher mad at us.
So maybe it's Activision turn this month.
Yeah.
We eagerly await the phone calls.
Right. It's not them. I mean, that's just, I mean, but that's an, if that really is his perspective and it really is about PC games, that says a lot, don't you think? I mean, that says that there's huge perception humps to get over here.
Yeah.
If the head of a game company is really thinking that, and even if it is about the console.
Well, I guess the thing is, like, you know, we're the early adopters.
We are.
So we're the guys buying into this advanced technology. It's the people at Target and Walmart, the people that are making the major sales to keep these companies afloat.
But those same people that buy it at games at Target and Walmart now are already used to downloading ringtones for their cell phones, I
Very
think.
Very true.
Getting music that way. I mean, I think they're all the cards are in place, you know?
Right, but it's a big difference when you're talking about, like, a 2 gigabyte game.
Right, and that's hard drive space, and that's why I pointed out, like, PS3 is going to have quite an enormous hard drive on it by console standards.
But how big is that hard drive?
And you can also swap them out on the Xbox. So, I mean, it's definitely not incomprehensible on either of those. I mean, that's to say if he's talking about that space.
Yeah, I think it's the extreme of that quote is what's kind of surprising, right?
Well, in all fairness, though, you know how much journalists suck, and sometimes they do
especially
have...
Especially on 1UP.
Oh!
Wait a second.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, now. No, but sometimes, you know, they'll have an agenda, and they'll, like, selectively pull that quote apart.
That's true.
So maybe he, you know...
We would never do that, though.
No, never.
Because we're professionals.
Really like the boring Monday morning press release batch from Activision and scanned through it and found one... slightly, possibly incendiary comment and made a story about that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm just maybe the lesson for us is to do a little more research before we actually discuss something on the podcast.
So now we just killed 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So we just
what did he actually say? I don't know.
I forgot to record that section.
Oh, yeah. How's it going over there on the Metro?
Pretty good. There's still lines moving, which is very encouraging.
Okay.
Lots of beeping, lots of blinking dots.
The red light that's not supposed to go on has not gone on.
Excellent.
That's good. That means you got time to talk about your gaming lovers.
Okay. Now, when we say our gaming lovers, see, last week we actually talked about.
We're talking about that.
We talked about gaming
fool
lovers
that you're
last
always
week.
Talking to. And wow.
When yeah, no, we were talking about last week about you know, online romance or whatever. We figured we could do it without you two in the room because it could actually be a mature discussion.
Oh,
I see how it is.
We had Jane,
Ryan breaking down the sex talk.
Actually, it was Jane.
Ask Dr.
We had
Scott.
Jane from the 1UP show.
Oh,
that's
here,
right.
Who up to the maturity level quite a bit. However, she is the one, as somebody pointed out to me in my blog, in a blog comment, she said the word tits first.
She
so
did.
That it was great because it totally opened it up to say it after she did. It's like, all right, the girl said it first.
And tits, now that tits, Jeff tits. Just said it.
And now I've opened it up to you.
I have to listen to that podcast.
It was good. We said the word tits.
Apparently.
No, but when you say gaming lovers, I was actually, I meant our real life partners, spouses, whatever.
I know. I just said it because it sounds like goofy, like adult beef swelling.
You're my gaming lover. Because it's an issue we all face, isn't it? We're kind of all of us here in this room, and even Ryan, believe it or not, is in a relationship. And we have to... I shouldn't say
even
that.
Even Ryan! And he was talking about sex.
You know, if you're not here, if you can't make the podcast, that's what you get, you know? Schedule your root canal for some other time.
Get your priorities straight, man.
Yeah.
Today's a lesson.
Yeah, no, we all, to some degree, have to deal with this, like, you know. I mean, well, let me just ask. Sean, Elliot.
This is a topic I like to talk about.
Does your partner play games? And or tolerate you playing games?
She does, but, yeah, so basically, I mean, along stereotypical lines almost, where she's definitely in, she plays Bejeweled like crazy, Bonnie's Bookstore.
Girls love that stuff.
Right. All the PopCap games, big fiend for them, and then, you know, Nintendo games with me, DS, WarioWare, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely none of the shooters. And the problem then is that since I play all these damn shooters, is they all look like the same game to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be playing, you know, Red Orchestra 1 minute, Call of Duty the next, and in the course of an hour, literally go through it, Odin, Counter-Strike, Battlefield, and I'm always playing the same game.
To her.
And... Right. Mm-hmm. And when I come, you know, when I bring home a game and I'm like, hey, this is for review. I'm writing a story on this. I have to play it. And it's a Battlefield expansion. It's like, she's like, don't quit lying to me. I know what, I know what you're up to.
You're just goofing off at the same old game.
So, yeah. And it's tough because, Yeah, I mean, you definitely, I mean, there's
kind of fantasy sort of right.
Yeah.
So that's shooting there. Guys again.
But the other thing is too is it's I think that anyone that's in a relationship has got to deal with it, that there's going to be some kind of disparity between the commitment to the gaming, you know. And it's like there're definitely times when I want to come home and play and get in team speak and just yell and goof off and clown, and then she comes in from the room and it's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, even the whole notion
are you embarrassed?
And now mom comes
bad?
In the room.
Yeah, I don't know. You know me. I'm a pretty pretty immune to embarrassment, and I like to embarrass myself, so but I'll just, you know, I'll be on there talking in insane voices and stuff and harassing people.
You do that at home. You actually hit on the one big out though that we all have here, that that your average gamer doesn't, right?
Yeah,
which is
we're doing
this for review. Yeah. For
but
work.
It's a double-edged sword though, because it's like when you definitely there will be times when you really are working. And at least
she'll think you're playing.
My girlfriend Melissa just doesn't buy it. She's like,
yeah.
Or it's just because what we do is so divorced from so many people's notions of work. And because for one, a lot of people just assume all we do is sit around and play games, and we know that
we
definitely
do
don't do that.
Actually, we don't.
But in the cases when we the awesome part, you know, when we do get to play games, it doesn't seem like work to anyone. And it really isn't at the same time. But the bottom line is we have to do it. We've
well, that's
got
why
it.
I walked by OPM today, Official PlayStation Magazine. I walked by Joe Rybicki's office.
Playing
he's the
Guitar
executive
Hero
editor.
Too.
Yeah, he's sitting back in his chair with the guitar from Guitar Hero.
That's cool.
Playing it, I'm like, I can't believe this is some guy's job.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Or just like, you know, when episode one came out, I just spent the day playing that. And
yeah, but that really was your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good. But
for me, it's kind of the I mean, there's a million things I could say, but one thing, just in you saying about your girlfriend not buying it, sometimes what happens with my wife is the opposite, which is that if I tell her it's work, she's actually angry because she thinks I just work too much.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. It's almost better if I say I'm just goofing off.
Yeah.
Because then she doesn't feel like, you know, Ziff the
but
man
then
has
there's
to
the
down
other
again.
Thing too.
There's no in between, because like our hobby is what we do, what we, you know, what we love doing is also our job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when you go home really and you're like, you know, I've been at work all day and I'm fiending to play some Battlefield 2. And she's like, what are you talking about? You just played games all day. And I was like, no, I didn't. I haven't played a game at work in like 2 weeks. You can hear the tone of voice. I'm used to doing this.
I
haven't played a damn game at work in 2 weeks.
The beleaguered gamer.
I think you actually mic'd my apartment, because that's the same exact conversation I have half the time.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore because we've had too many arguments. I can't walk in the door and go to a game.
Play some games.
Oh, and by the way, this was...
Jeez, I have to pay attention to my wife and kid.
Yeah. Sheesh!
Jeez.
Yeah, this actually was going to be my column this month, but now I'm not going to do it. Thanks, guys.
No, you can still do it.
I think this topic's pretty endless.
There's so much good stuff, though. I mean, just thinking of it, I'm like...
Although, the one thing I got to say, though, is like, Amy, like, when we first started dating, she was in denial. She basically said that she's not a gamer at all. She hated stuff. She played Myst when she was younger, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. And then I introduced her to Grim Fandango, and, you know, every once in a while, like, I get my hands on a cool-looking adventure game that she might like, and she starts playing it. And I introduced her to Guitar Hero, and she's hooked on that, so...
There is nothing I can do to get my wife into gaming.
That's too bad.
The thing that I learned, at least with
nothing at all.
I've tried
all the Goochers.
Everything you could think of
really?
To throw at me.
Wow. Like even she was immune to Bejeweled.
Immune to Bejeweled.
Wow.
Immune to Bookworm. Immune to
Bejeweled.
Brain Age.
The only thing I found that worked for me was just like, basically I would have the controller in my hand and we'd do a puzzle game or an adventure game. And I'm like, Amy, boss me around. She knows how to do that, so...
My daughter totally gets it. She's
no, totally she's actually really cool.
Just playing.
Yeah. Actually, and like my that. Wife also. My wife
you,
walks
I'm
in.
I'm thinking of you guys doing role playing and her boss and being the boss. Dude, that's when I got scared about.
Ew.
My hands. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the podcast takes a nasty turn.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, back on track.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky because my boyfriend is as into it as I am, if not more in a lot
that
of cases.
That is very cool.
So... I got
Soul Calibur.
But do you have to like?
Yeah, pretty much. It's also dangerous.
Do you have to argue though over like the controller or the game or?
Sometimes WoW was kind of what we settled on as the default thing when we can't agree on like, well, do you want to play DOA? And like,
Two PCs set up.
Oh yeah.
Like,
so you guys play together.
He's at his desktop, and I'm usually at the laptop on the couch.
And do you play together?
Oh, yeah.
Will you play WoW together?
This kind of
that's
thing.
Good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That in fact that's awesome.
You know, I haven't tried that yet. I haven't tried to get her on MMOs yet. I'm afraid I might create a monster.
Yeah, I've done that now with my daughter. In fact, just today I got Egbert, my character, moved over to her server. So now we're going to play on the same server.
I've heard horror stories from friends who, you know, were MMOing together. And then like they had different they got in different guilds or something, and then they like it ended in divorce.
Yeah,
like literally that was the conclusion.
That is unreal.
I just like I traced it backwards. I'm just like. They got divorced over that game.
Look at the story on Love Bites in our current
season. Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like you get to the point where you're looking over each other's shoulder, at least some of the people in there, you know, they're looking over each other's shoulder and seeing like, well, who are you talking to in game? Why are they PMing you?
Who are you
slash-telling?
Why
don't they say all? Why don't they say all? You know,
I wonder if there's a danger, too. Of like, do you guys, like, what I would wonder about, because in a way, you know, my wife, and this is what she says, is like, well, somebody's got to run the household. You know, and there's a little bit of truth to that if I'm just sitting on my ass all weekend in front of the PC. Working, I should say.
Yes.
Working to earn her money. That if two people are like, do you ever think, like, man, we should get up and stop doing this all day?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
We actually do, you know, we do that, though. We make a point to, like this weekend was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe played an hour of games.
I think the fundamental difference between your situation and ours is that, like, all of us in the room are aware of just like how completely geeked out this stuff gets. And and it's like for us, I'm assuming there's places you don't go. You don't even start to try to explain a joke because you realize how much context it's like, it's going to take me all day to set this up. By the time I get to the punchline, she'll be like, why is that funny?
Yeah.
But you like, both of you are like, why, we're laughing at this and we know why it's funny. Like, but is it really funny? I don't know. I'm just imagining like, it would be weird.
Yeah,
you guys are both intimately aware of like how far you're going down the rabbit hole when you guys are.
Oh yeah,
you
know? I'm jealous. Yeah,
so
I would
playing it off.
I am jealous. So I would like once in a while to be able to have. I mean, I do have that experience with my kid, but it's rough when you got someone in the house who's just like, "What you're doing is a waste of time." You know, 24/7.
Like, that's how you make your money.
Right. Yeah. I'm not trying. I'm dissing my wife in public. This is bad for me. I love you, honey.
That's going to be rough, though. No matter what. I mean, because I've had that, too. And it's like, it's similar to the, like, what you do is not work. And I'm thinking not so much of when we're playing games, but say when we're, you know, we have a rough week, a deadline, and we're basically, you know, writing at home, writing over the weekend, editing, preparing stuff for the next issue at the same time. And those days, you at least, it's still very nice. Love it. I'd rather be doing it than, you know, so many other things. But at the same time, it's kind of in line too. It's just anytime someone you love just summarily dismisses a big chunk of what you're investing yourself
like,
in.
You know, this is my career here. You know, and you know, to put it into some context, I mean, first of all, she's European.
she wants you to play Rayman.
right. No, but also nothing. She's European.
Either that or a soccer
center. What I was really going to say was she's a teacher. Okay, she's a high school teacher. So she's got to deal with.
She's not using DDR to teach the kids to lose weight.
Yeah, what I'm doing, what I do is like the enemy of what she does.
Right.
You know, this is like why kids don't do their homework.
That's quite a dynamic relationship you've got there.
Yeah. we always say that, you know, she smartens them up and I dumb them down.
Yeah. It would be Judy Bloom or something else if it wasn't the games, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be Bratz.
What bugs me, too, is like, you know, every once in a while there is a game that I really think, I'm like, this is the one. Like Katamari, I think, was one where I was like, this is so innovative and it's so cute and it's so friendly.
I knew better on that. The controls.
Her eyes just glaze. Well, not even to play it, but just to watch me play it. Just to acknowledge that there's something interesting happening here. I mean, the last thing she saw me play was Half-Life Episode 2 or Episode 1, and I was playing it and I was really into it. And it was like a good part of the story. And she walked by and like right then on the screen, there was, of course, you know, something like horrible happening. Like I was using the gravity gun to like throw bricks at zombie heads.
Right.
Well, at least it wasn't a sin.
So she walked by that and she's like, what is that? Like in the most dismissive tone possible.
When you're not playing it, all you see is nothing but violence upon violence upon violence. And you don't see, I mean, now I got to go and defend what, well, it's not just violence. But in the way that you're responding, you're like, whoa, did you see how that happened? Or like, I gotta figure out using the tools available to me how to get out of the situation. All they see is that if you're like watching a movie and it was like an endless clip of like highlights from like crusty old, you know, like Puppet Master films and whatever, you know, Troma Studios.
Well, the scene was it was the part of the game where the ant lions are spawning endlessly, so you have to use the gravity car to move the cars over to
Mm-hmm. Oops, the gravity gun moved the cars out there. I just spoiled one of the puzzles. Sorry. But but anyway.
Alex is the one that says it like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, she does? Yeah, I missed that.
She much clubs you over the head.
Ah, shit. She says that?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear it. I missed it. I thought I had to figure it out. But, you know, so my wife was like dissing the game because the zombies are attacking you. And I was actually trying to mount this defense. Like, actually, it's kind of a logic puzzle.
Exploding zombie heads.
Yeah, all the time I try to sit there and defend how, like, you know, gaming is evolving as an art form, and I'm sitting there playing Sin episodes for the review, and for opening scene, I'm staring at some digital boobs.
Yeah,
like,
that is
there you go.
That would have been harsh. And then right after that,
she's in a bikini.
We can't drop the F-bomb on here, but anyway, as soon as that part, you get in the car.
The corner of F and U.
I actually think that and the TNA together would just...
Yeah.
James said, like, sometimes you have a nasty habit of, like, shooting themselves in the foot, where you're just like, see, this is really cool.
I mean, I do feel this way that, like, if the game you're playing is stupid or whatever, like, that's actually okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just say
the way we watch stupid TV or go to stupid movies or read stupid books. Like, if this is just how you want to spend your time, I think that's okay.
See, well, think of, like, if you had someone come up to you, if your wife came up to you and was trying to tell you that, like, I don't know, Miss Congeniality is just amazing. I mean, it's just completely high art, you know? And she was absolutely sincere, and you had to listen to that. And she rented movies like it and its sequels, like, every week in and week out. And then that's kind of probably her perspective on what we do, you know? It's like... that is if you're not telling her, hey, this is a dumb, like, this is a guilty pleasure. I'm sorry, but, like,
in terms of perception,
not the reality.
I'll do both. Sometimes I really do try to defend it because there are games you can defend as, you know, strategy games or things like that. You can say, this is actually using a significant part of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other times where clearly you're just goofing off and wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to start simple with her. Start her on some flash games like Torture Osama or something.
Always a good entry
Seriously,
point.
Like elf bowling or something. I don't know.
Osama maybe something from a French perspective since she's French. Yeah.
Get her into, I don't know. I give up.
Yeah.
But all it takes is one. Like the fact that like if they play just one game, then even if the game content itself is completely different than what you're doing, the concept of like, wanting to keep playing something, you know, in the same medium, like saying, hey, you know, I know that feeling where I want to go back and keep playing this and just do it again, even though I've done it the day before and the day before that, you know.
Bookworm and Bonnie's Bookstore might be
good. Maybe it just, doesn't matter. Maybe it's okay, you know.
Yeah, they're sweating it for nothing. Does she watch Oprah or anything like that you can bring, can shoot back
She
at
definitely
her?
Watches some dumb TV.
There you go. That's it.
And her, you know, the way she'll say it is, well, you know, I've been teaching all day. I've been working hard all day, and now I just want to turn my brain off and chill out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And there you go. There's the argument.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the end of it, then.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
How did this turn into a therapy session for me?
Okay, who needs
I thought
a hug?
I was asking you guys a question.
Well, you're part of it. We want to know.
Yeah, but now I feel bad.
We're worried for you, Jeff. We think what you're doing is worthwhile. We're behind it.
I'm good enough.
You.
We understand
we're here to validate
it and support you.
I have a good job because of it.
What would she say if she heard this podcast?
It wouldn't be good.
Matter of fact,
something
I'm
that makes
this.
It good right now. You have about 5 seconds.
I love you.
Love you, honey.
Yeah. Are we done?
Are we done?
We're done.
I just want to throw out two quick things.
No.
Yes, quick. These are really quick.
Quick things.
Okay, the CGW podcast theme.
The podcast theme.
We got to throw a shout out. We got a submission from George Teal.
Yes.
And
thank you, George.
Thank you, George. While we can't use the theme, Sean, what were you saying earlier?
Don't make a judgmental comment.
I thought it sounded cool.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that you need to hook up, I mean, for being the first and so far only submission, right? You need to give him
George is actually, we should say, is the guy who did the one that Ryan called Colombian drug dealer music last week. And so we felt a little bad because he actually did take the time to do this for us, unlike the rest of you. And so
he sent us a new one since we dissed him.
And this new one is nice. So thank you, George.
So, George, you'll be getting an email from you soon. I'll hook you up with some stuff. Thanks for throwing some songs our way. And one other thing, the Get a Life contest for...
I'm just playing. So I'm going to make you laugh the whole time.
Okay.
You did.
Sean Elliott's making faces.
And also, I know that we had this, two weeks ago? The see how pathetic your life is from playing too many online games.
Yeah.
So I know there were a couple entries, and I was out of town last week, but
quite a few. Did you see them on our forums?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them. So I'm just going to give it one more week. If you have any more entries, basically take a screenshot and how many hours you've logged in any game. And the winner, I'm just going to send some hardware to. So
yeah, are you going to pick a winner based on just pure hour input, or like combine that with like? You should have some. I'm thinking you should get
good question.
A curve based on like how pathetic the game is. You know?
Okay, you know what?
That's what I'm trying
to say.
If it's
800 hours in Star Wars Galaxies, you win.
You get bonus points for that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's like, wow, you know, 300, 400 hours. Like, that's pretty much a normal American, you know.
Okay, so we'll do ratio of Star Wars Galaxies.
Okay,
you are a champion.
I say two scales. One for most pathetic and one, kind of like a Miss Congeniality prize.
Okay, so two awards.
Two awards. One for the most pathetic game, and
what's the other one then? The hardest Russian.
Sheer fucking.
Whoa!
Oh shit!
Beep that one out. Sheer volume.
Beep. I guess Sean's gonna have to learn how to do the beep.
I guess
thing.
Post-production is in the
post-production for this one. Thanks, Darren.
Sorry. It's at the very end, at least.
This is when it's getting lively. We got to just keep going.
Yeah, let's start the podcast now. Now that Darren dropped out.
Forgot to hit the button.
Now we're ready to rock.
Actually, we're not. We're ready to stop.
Okay.
We're going to stop.
Yeah, we got to roll.
But thank you all for joining again, and thank everybody out there for listening, and we will see you again next week. Bye.